Hi, this is Tigerheart T3 with my first podcast. Today I'm going to talk about some of the more common ways of producing light. First, I'll cover the basics of incandescent, fluorescent, and LED. Then, I'll move on to high-intensity discharge, or HID, which includes xenon short arc, low-pressure sodium, mercury vapor, and metal halide. Following that, I'll compare each method, going over their pros and cons. Lastly, I'll use that information to make recommendations as to where each method is best used. Incandescent bulbs, or incans for short, became popular about a century ago and haven't changed much since. A filament, which is a bit of metal, usually tungsten, forms part of an electrical circuit. When current passes through it, the filament heats up. The more current going through the filament, the hotter it gets. At a certain point, the filament gets so hot that it starts to glow a dull red. This is called incandescence, which is where the incandescent bulb gets its name. As current continues to rise, the filament incandesces more and more until it's white hot. If current continues to rise past tungsten's melting point, the filament will melt and the light bulb will be burned out. You can see this process if you have a light bulb attached to a dimmer. Turn up the power very slowly and you'll see the filament go through all but the last stage I described. The first bulbs had a vacuum inside, since oxygen in the air would cause the filament to immediately burn up. The bulbs had to be very thick to hold up to the pressure of the outside air. Later bulbs were filled with inert gases, which don't harm the filament. Some of the fill gases used today are krypton, xenon, and halogen, to name a few. Some bulbs are actually highly pressurized with their fill gas, which can pose an explosion hazard. Touching these bulbs with your fingers can leave invisible oils, which, when heated, can boil, weaken the bulb, and cause an explosion. Such bulbs will usually have warning labels on their packaging. Some specialty bulbs have an interior coating to keep the heat inside the bulb. This way, less power is wasted heating the air around the bulb and it can operate more efficiently. This technology is called infrared coating, or IRC. Let's move on to fluorescent lighting. These come in many shapes and sizes, starting with a simple straight tube, known as a linear tube, and now available in U-shaped tubes, spirals, and more. Spiral tubes, known as compact fluorescent lights, or CFLs, have become much more popular than linear tubes because you can use the same fixtures. Unfortunately, they're not as efficient as modern linear tubes. Fluorescent tubes create light by passing an electric current through mercury. The inside of the tube is coated with a phosphor that absorbs the UV light from the fluorescing mercury and emits white light. Early fluorescents with magnetic ballasts flickered, but newer ones with electronic ballasts do not. The ballast boosts the voltage going into the tube to a few hundred times higher than ordinary mains voltage. LEDs. They're amazing, they're everywhere, and they're relatively unknown. Basically, incans are to LEDs as vacuum tubes are to microchips. They're diodes, a device that only allows current in one direction, where passing electrons fall to a lower energy level and emit energy in the form of light. If you want more technical details, you'll have to do some research at Wikipedia or something. LEDs are available in almost every color, from infrared to ultraviolet. White light is usually created with a blue or UV LED, whose light goes through a phosphor layer. In that respect, they're similar to fluorescents, but with no mercury, ballast, and so on. There are incandescent bulbs available to suit many voltages, and fluorescents need a ballast to boost incoming voltage way up, but all LEDs operate on just a few volts. Different styles of LEDs can handle different amounts of current, with tiny indicator LEDs using 5 to 20 milliamps, and power LEDs generally using 1 to 2 amps at most. Compare this to incandescent bulbs, which can be tailored to run at 1.5 volts and 1 amp for keychain style lights, 120 volt mains power and 10 amps, and so on. HID lights are another animal entirely. They're usually found in industrial applications, lighting city streets, factory floors, and so on. There are several types in use, the most common being low-pressure sodium, or LPS, mercury vapor, and metal halide. HID lights all require a ballast of some sort, and they take a few minutes to reach full power. LPS lamps create light by vaporizing sodium in a tube. This makes them similar to fluorescents, but the light produced by the sodium is a dull orange-yellow. It's commonly used in streetlights, as it's quite power efficient in spite of its very poor color rendering. LPS is one of my least favorite types of light, since yellow things look yellow, but everything else looks black. It also flickers and doesn't seem to provide for much depth perception. Next is one of my favorite types of light, mercury vapor. This is often used for outdoor lighting due to its very bright, very white, flicker-free output, but rarely for common street lighting. It operates in a similar fashion to sodium lights, but uses mercury instead. The light looks great, but creates more light pollution than LPS, so it's usually only used for stadiums, car dealerships, and other situations where the quality of light is important. A subset of mercury vapor is metal halide, which adds some other metals to the mercury. Metal halide, or MH, provides pure white light without using a phosphor layer. It's used in luxury car headlights, handheld searchlights, industrial lighting, and other applications. It's more efficient at higher power levels. Small 10-watt metal halide HID flashlights produce around 500 lumens, which is around 50 lumens per watt. 35-watt metal halide HID searchlights produce around 3,000 lumens for about 85 lumens per watt, which approaches modern LED efficiencies, but at much greater power levels. After the break, I'll compare these lighting methods and look at their advantages and disadvantages. Welcome back. Let's take a look at the practical considerations of the common light production methods. I believe there are two words to describe the Incan advantage. The first is power. There are bulbs available for just a few bucks that can handle hundreds of watts, all going through a filament occupying a cubic centimeter or less. Even with the relatively low efficiencies, a bulb of that power is going to produce a whole lot of light. The small filament means that the light can be easily focused for multiple applications. Video production lights use bulbs no bigger than your thumb, with filaments the size of a thumbnail, but they can handle anywhere from 250 to 1,000 watts, depending on the model. These can be put behind Fresnel lenses for narrow spots, thick diffusion sheets for lighting entire rooms, and anything in between. The common 500-watt or 1,000-watt work lights that can be found at hardware stores for $30 to $50 use long, narrow lamps for a huge wash of light. Most of these bulbs average less than a buck for household bulbs, or $5 to $10 for more exotic models. Assuming you already have a power supply and the proper fixture, incans like these are by far the easiest and cheapest way to make loads of light. Next is color. Since incans are pretty much the definition of blackbody radiators, they produce every color in the spectrum and therefore can render each color accurately. This prevents objects from looking off or washed out. Of course, there are disadvantages to incans. First, the efficiency is pretty poor. Given the same energy as an LED, an incan would only produce one-third the light. This can be improved by giving a bulb more voltage, which increases efficiency, but brings us to two other problems. If you give a bulb more voltage to improve its efficiency, the filament is going to be more fragile and more susceptible to popping, a well-known problem with incans. However, if you attempt to increase life at the cost of efficiency, the color temperature goes down as well, meaning that the output will become more orange and less white. Incans don't quite like being rapidly turned on and off. When the filament is colder, it has less resistance to current, making the first flip of a switch the hardest. This is why bulbs often burn out right after they're turned on, instead of suddenly popping after they've been on for a while. This issue can be avoided by what's called a soft start, which is simply a controlled increase of power up to the rated value. So, to summarize incans, they have power and color rendition, but making them wider and more efficient brings them closer to failure. Let's move to fluorescence. They've changed a lot in the past decade or two, improving color and efficiency and losing their hum and flicker. Some of these improvements are based on the ballast instead of the bulbs themselves. A modern, linear tube driven by a good electronic ballast can be quite efficient and provide good quality light. However, all fluorescents still take a while to reach full output, and they don't take kindly to being toggled on and off too rapidly. They're also more expensive than incan bulbs, and they contain mercury, which means they have to be properly disposed of. Incans are basically just glass, steel, and tungsten, so they can be thrown away with no precautions. CFLs are more convenient in that they have a self-contained ballast and are compact, as the name suggests, so they can usually provide a direct replacement for household incan bulbs. However, they're less efficient than linear fluorescents, and the surface of the tube facing inward is blocked by the rest of the bulb, decreasing light output further. They're still more efficient than incans, though. So, fluorescence in a nutshell. Efficient, but slightly fuzzy. Next, the LED. LEDs, like computer components, don't mind rapid cycles. Your computer's CPU operates at millions of cycles every second, and LEDs aren't much different in that regard. An LED will generally produce light about a 10 millionth of a second after power is applied, and it can do this thousands or even millions of times every second with no ill effects. LEDs can be quite efficient, and are more efficient the lower the current. Power LEDs become less efficient when driven below 30 milliamps, their efficiency sweet spot. Contrast this with incands, which get more orange and inefficient when dimmed, and fluorescents, which require special ballast to dim. This tolerance of dimming and rapid cycling means that LEDs can handle any output up to their maximum, and they can be used to signal in any pattern. This is often accomplished with electronic drivers. Like every device, LEDs produce heat, but it's generally radiated through the back, where it should be connected to some sort of heatsink. A high-power LED driven at high power without a heatsink won't last very long. Unfortunately, most common white LEDs don't render colors as well as an incan, due to the way they make light. Reds are often subdued, washing out earth tones. They also can't handle very much power. The only way to get, say, 10 watts of LED power is to use multiple LEDs, either by manually connecting them or getting a prefabricated package containing multiple emitters. Most power LEDs are optimally driven at 3 watts and can handle 4 to 5 watts with proper heat sinking, although heat and reduced lifespan go hand in hand. Again, contrast this with incans, which can be created to suit many voltages and power levels as well as AC or DC. An ordinary white power LED works at 3.5 volts DC and 700 milliamps, and if your power source doesn't do that, you'll have to add some electronics to change it. This makes LEDs difficult to use with high power applications, requiring driver circuits, multiple LEDs, or both. In fact, LEDs are commonly used with drivers even when paired with the power source close to the voltage they need, since a small change in voltage causes huge shifts in current. Basically, LEDs are difficult to use in high power applications, 10 to 20 watts and upwards, and don't always render colors properly, but they're efficient and versatile. HIDs are definitely specialized. They perform efficiently at very high output levels, creating lots of light, but they don't tolerate cycling and need to warm up to reach full output. They're generally similar to fluorescents in those regards, but are more expensive, complex, and suited to higher power levels. After the break, we'll consider practical applications. Welcome back. It's time to discuss applications. First, the incandescent. Cheap and powerful with good color, these are best used in places where you want lots of light and have the power to do so. This means household lighting, where you have a huge power generator feeding you energy, and automotive lighting, where, again, you have a generator providing power. There are lamps made for 120 volts AC household power, lamps made for 12 volt DC automotive power, and so on. They're all set up for a balance between whiteness and efficiency versus bulb life, suited to the specific application. They're simple and cheap. All you need is the base, bulb, and filament, and you're in business. The bulbs get a nice stream of constant power, so they don't turn orange, which would be the result of falling voltage. There's one particular place where incandescent is the perfect answer: oven lighting. Both the bulb and the oven run power through a coil to produce heat, so neither minds the heat of the other, and the heat isn't quite as wasteful. Fluorescents are gaining ground. Bright and efficient, they're seeing more and more use in household lighting. However, since they like constant cycling even less than incandescent, they're less than ideal for infrequent use, especially in timed and/or motion-detecting applications. They also don't like extreme heat or cold, so refrigerators and ovens are pretty much out. However, they're just about perfect for industrial use. Look up in any supermarket, department store, classroom, office, etc., and you'll probably see rows upon rows of linear fluorescents. In that application, people don't really care about the appearance of the fixtures as they would in a home, and the lights are turned on either once a day, or, for places open 24 hours a day, once when they're installed. LEDs aren't ideal everywhere, but they're great in many applications. They're used when smaller amounts of light are needed, but durability and longevity are paramount. Look at any electronic device, and chances are it'll have an LED indicator somewhere on it. Replacing bulbs in such devices would be a huge pain, and the common low-power LEDs used are a few cents each. They're also available in multiple colors without the use of filters. For example, a green LED can indicate an on state, and a red LED can indicate an activity state. The former would turn on and off every time the device did, and the latter might blink rapidly depending on use. Incands would burn out rapidly and use more power, and few other light production methods would even fit in some smaller devices. In some areas of the world, mostly in the US, traffic lights no longer consist of incandescent bulbs behind colored filters. They use large arrays of color LEDs. These use less power, don't need to be replaced, and are much more visible. As with indicator LEDs, ease of maintenance is a big factor in LED traffic lights. Combined with frequent cycling, LEDs are an ideal candidate for traffic lights. The power LED, using 1 watt of power or more, is also ideal for small flashlights. Most portable lights are battery operated, which means a voltage range. Battery-powered incans with no driver circuitry, that is, almost all of them, start out somewhere between orange and white, depending on the model and the battery type, and end up dim and orange. Creating a driver circuit for LEDs is a simple matter, as they use relatively little power, which makes for a flashlight that retains its output level throughout its runtime. Since a single power LED can be driven at up to 4 or 5 watts at the most, it rarely makes sense to use incan at or below that level. As such, small handheld flashlights are best suited to LEDs, since they can make the best use of limited battery power. In addition, specialized drivers can allow a flashlight to have multiple output settings, with huge efficiency and runtime on lower settings. On the other hand, getting more than 5 watts of power out of an LED flashlight would require multi-die emitters or multiple LEDs, vastly increasing cost and complexity. At that point, you have to decide between an LED flashlight's efficiency on one hand, or an incan's color rendition and simplicity on the other. Since LEDs work better the colder they are, they'd be terrible in ovens and excellent in refrigerators or freezers. Unfortunately, most such appliances run on mains power, requiring a separate driver to properly run the LED. Incan remains cheaper and simpler even for refrigerators, but LEDs would provide a much more optimized solution. LEDs are gaining popularity in automotive applications. They're great in taillights and brake lights, since they're intense and turn on pretty much instantly. They're also great for interior lighting, since their much greater efficiency over incans means less likelihood of a dead battery if you forget and leave them on for a while. As an added bonus, they last pretty much forever, as long as they're properly installed. This means fewer burnt-out brake lights and taillights for better safety on the road, as well as reduced maintenance costs. LEDs are still very uncommon for household lighting, because of the increased cost and complexity of multiple LEDs, drivers, heatsinking, specialized fixtures, and so on. Most people would rather just pop in a 50-cent light bulb or maybe a CFL. I don't think I've ever seen an HID in someone's home, with the exception of handheld metal halide HID searchlights belonging to flashaholics. They're almost exclusive to industrial settings. LPS is enough to see whether there is a large obstacle in front of you, like a person or a deer, but if I had to pet my dog, shop for groceries, or study under that horrible orange glow, I'd throw a blanket over my head and use a flashlight. It's orange, it's flickery, and it doesn't even show me where the cracks are in the sidewalk while I'm rollerblading. I cheer when I blade by a car dealership with mercury vapor lighting. Mercury vapor, or metal halide, are used when you need a whole lot of light and you're actually somewhat interested in what you're lighting up, like at sports arenas, car dealerships, and so on. They have the qualities of fluorescence, but a single HID fixture can replace two or more fluorescents, simplifying installation. Metal halide can also be used for larger flashlights where both output and runtime are important, as it combines the high power levels of incans with the great efficiency of LEDs. If, for example, you wanted a 3000 lumen spotlight, you'd need either a 100 watt incan, a 30 watt LED build with over a dozen LEDs, or a 35-watt metal halide with a single small bulb. The only drawbacks are the long warm-up time and the inability to handle rapid on-off cycles. Here's a really quick summary. Incan is powerful and cheap, but fragile and inefficient. Fluorescent is powerful and efficient, but more finicky and complex. LED is efficient and versatile, but isn't very powerful, simple, or cheap relative to other light sources. And HID is similar to fluorescent, but more varied. Well, I think that covers the basics. My thanks to CPF and Wikipedia. This has been Tigerhawk T3.